Our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. As Brother Kimberlin mentioned last night, the message is last night dovetailed together, worked together, and I believe the message, his message and our message tonight will work together. Luke chapter 5, we want to look at some basic things through our text and then get to the point the Lord has given us, and just pray for us, continue to pray for us. We felt your prayers. We felt the Spirit on us and preaching, and just pray that the Lord will continue and hopefully take us out of the equation and just work in hearts and lives and help each one of us be what the Lord would have us to be, where He'd have us to be, and just keep looking to Him and trusting in Him in it. We find in the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake Gennesaret." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight, beloved, for the building to be packed and people pressing in, pushing in, just moving in and just, you know, gathered, congregated, bunched together so much there's not hardly any even room to stand to hear the Word of God. And they were pressing together to hear the Word of God. We live in not just a world, but we live in a country today that generally don't want to hear the Word of God. They despise the Word of God. Matter of fact, they'll do anything they can to shut down and shut up the Word of God. But God's command, Jeremiah 22:29, is still, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And God's not changing that. Don't matter what the Supreme Court does. It doesn't matter what anybody in our country, it doesn't matter what a bunch of goofy actors and actresses think and so on. "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And these folks were pressing to hear the word of the Lord from Jesus. And it says in verse 2, "And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." This is another thing that far too much emphasis is put on, I believe, in our day and time. Stylized preaching. Personal style. Personalities in preaching. I remember years ago in our first pastorate, I followed a fellow who was pretty lively and so forth, and I preached for a few months, and one of the men come up and said, "Brother Darrell," said, "I'd like to ask you something." I said, "Okay." He says, "Do you know the difference between preaching and teaching?" And I said, "Well, I do know that there ought to be teaching in every bit of preaching that anybody does." And the man was looking for a style. He was looking for a certain pattern or looking for a certain personality. And every man of God in every place is his own personality. And the personality is not what's supposed to be preeminent. It's supposed to be the teaching of the Word of God. And if you look at the life of Jesus, that's what consumed His ministry. Teaching, teaching, and particularly teaching His disciples. It says in verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the ship, the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Oh, how we need to recognize continually, perpetually, that we're just sinners saved by grace. We in no way, shape, or form deserve to ever come unto the presence of the Lord. But by His grace, by His love, by His mercy, we are able to come together, we are able to worship, we have His presence in our midst. In the midst of us, He is here, His Spirit is here. But let us never get proudful or arrogant. Let us never forget that we're just sinful. We don't deserve. And Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know, sometimes when you've been saved a long time, you might forget that. You might get comfortable being saved. But let us never forget we're just old sinners saved by grace. It says in verse 9, it says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let us pray. Dear Lord God, Almighty in heaven, we come to the close of this meeting time and this service time, and it certainly has been a great blessing to our hearts. And we rejoice in being able to be here in fellowship with these, your people, to be in the services, to hear the preaching, to receive the preaching, to have the privilege of preaching. Father, we just are so thankful, rejoice in Thee. Father, as we conclude this time of service, we especially pray that You'd help us, lead us and guide us. Father, we pray that all that's been said and done, truly to Your glory and honor and praise. Father, we pray that You would help us as we consider that which You've laid on our heart tonight to share with these, Your people. Father, give us a grace. Give us a freedom of tongue. Guide our words and our mind and help us to say only that which pleases Thee to be said. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this time and this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to go back up in this text to the main thought we want to focus on for a while before we close, and we're not going to be long or drag things out. But we could notice back in verse 4, when Jesus finished His speaking, it says, "Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught." The title of our message tonight is Launch Out. Launch out. Launch out for the Lord. Launch out at the Lord's command. Launch out and let the Lord lead. Launch out and be obedient to the Lord. Launch out as the Lord would have us to. You know, when you do what the Lord tells you to do, you won't regret. Where do our regrets come from as a child of God? It's when we don't do what we know the Lord would have us do. And when we don't follow Him, when we don't obey Him in some way, that's where our... There's never a regret in doing what the Lord commanded us to do. Doing what the Lord leads us to do. Jesus said, launch out. As we consider what transpired in this text, we consider these things tonight about launching out. And we pray to be an encouragement to you. We pray to stir your hearts. We pray to cause you to take time to examine yourself. Take time to examine your heart. And take time to consider, are there ways that you know in your heart God wants you to launch out, and yet you've been holding back? And yet you've been kind of just treading water. And yet you've been kind of just staying put. And yet you know the Lord would have you in some way to launch out. Let's consider what transpired here. First of all, beloved, let us launch out, even if it takes us out of our normal routine. These men were fishermen. That was their livelihood. That was their labor. That was their work. They weren't casual fishermen. They weren't fishing for recreation. This is how they subsisted. This is how they paid the bills. This is how that they put a roof over their head and food on the table, if you please. This was their work. This was their labor. And they had a routine. They'd go out through the night and let down the nets and bring them up and let down the nets and bring them up. And they'd done all this. They had followed their normal routine, and along come Jesus. And they had left their ships and were cleaning and mending their nets and preparing them for the next night, the next time to go out and labor as fishermen. Jesus called them out of their routine. Jesus got in one of the ships and said, "Hey, y'all, come on over here. Launch out a little bit from the shore so I can teach these folks." And then when he got done teaching, he says, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draw. Let down your nets for a great catch." Oh, beloved, if there's anything we in our lives, I think, need today is to get out of our rut. To get stirred. To get out of our routines. We get so set and settled and fixed. You know, we get up at a certain time. We go here at a certain time. We stay there so long, and we come home at a certain time. And we just, you know, we go through the routine. I read this many years ago about a rut. And the question was asked, "What is a rut?" And the man responded, "A rut is nothing but a grave with the end kicked out." Nothing but a grave with the end kicked out. We don't go anywhere just being stuck in our ruts. Just being set and stayed in our regular routines. So Jesus said, launch out. Even if it broke their routine, even if it disturbed their routine, even if it got them out of their normal habit and function, Jesus said, launch out. We also see Jesus said, launch out. Even if you're weary, even if you're tired. Jesus said, launch out into the deep, let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night." Lord, we've worked all night. We've been at it all night. And you want us to go out now? You want us to go out again? You want us to go out in the deep? Lord, we've toiled, we've worked, we've labored, we've sweated, we've gone all night, Lord. We're weary. Jesus still said, launch out. Launch out. Oh, beloved, may we be willing to launch out, even if we may be tired and worn, even if we may have felt like we've been toiling away already. Launch out. And you know, there's a reason for Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." We can get weary, can't we? And you know, as you age and as you get a few years on you and so forth, it seems like weariness figures into the picture more and more and more. But the Lord still says, launch out. Launch out. Beloved, let us launch out. Even if we've previously tried and failed. Even if we previously tried and failed. Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." I mean, we didn't even catch a skinny little tiny fish. We haven't taken one. We totally got skunked. I like to go fishing now and again. Get a chance to now and again. But I tell you what, I like catching a whole lot more than just fishing. I don't like to come home with nothing. I mean, oh, beloved, sometimes we've tried, sometimes we failed, sometimes we felt like the Lord would have us to do, and we just feel like we flubbed it up terribly. The Lord says, launch out. The Lord says, get up and go again. Oh, beloved, let not our past failures, let's not times where we felt the Lord lead and it didn't work out the way we thought or the way we hoped or the way we figured it would or so forth. Even if we tried and failed, at the Lord's leadership, at the Lord's urging, at the moving of the Spirit of God upon our hearts, let's launch out. Launch out. Oh, beloved, let's launch out. And this is, I think, one of the most important points. Let's launch out, even if we don't understand what the Lord's doing. Our problem today is we are used to figuring things out. We're used to kind of looking at situations and kind of, you know, going over this or that. And we're kind of used to kind of being aware at least what's going on. But there's sometimes the Lord just wants us to launch out without understanding, without comprehension. Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter didn't understand what the Lord was wanting to do. He didn't understand why it's the wrong time of day. It's not the, this isn't normal. This isn't our routine. This isn't what we do. We've already been fishing all night here and taking nothing. Peter didn't understand it. But he did it anyway, didn't he? Oh, beloved, there's so many things God would have for us just to do by because we trust Him. As a parent, as a grandparent even, haven't you been this way with children? Now, I want you to go over and do this or do that. Why? Because it's a good thing for you to do. But why? Because you need to do that. It's part of being a responsible person. And it's a part of your learning. But why? Finally you said, just do it because I told you to. You know? Just do it because I said so. No, I wonder how frustrated the Lord gets at us sometimes. We feel the Lord moving and leading, and we say, but Lord, why? Why now? Why there? Why this? Why that? Oh, beloved, even if we don't understand it, we feel the Lord leading, we know the Lord leading. Let's launch out. Let's launch out knowing that even if we don't know what the Lord's doing, He does. Even if we don't know what He's doing, He does. The Lord don't make mistakes. The Lord, you know, things happen or we deal with something that breaks down or whatever and we're trying to get it going and get it right. And we say, well, maybe I'll try this. See if it works. Now, maybe I'll try that. It's kind of like the fellow that I heard had computer trouble. He went in there, he determined to get it fixed up. And his wife was in the other room and heard him shout, all right, it's working. And the wife come in and said, well, what'd you do? He said, I don't know. I just took this doohickey thing to that thingy over there and push this button here, and it worked. That never happens with the Lord. The Lord always knows exactly what He's doing. Let's launch out. Even if we don't know, the Lord knows. May that be enough for us to understand. The Lord knows what He's doing. Oh, beloved, let's launch out knowing that what the Lord has determined to accomplish is going to get accomplished. What God has determined to be done is going to get done. I wonder if we could sit down with old Jonah tonight and ask him about that. You know, Jonah was told by God, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Preach against that great city. And Jonah got up and went the exact opposite direction. And he ended up in the old belly of the whale. And he thought, you know, he was enclosed with the depths of hell, the darkness, and he cried out of the old whale's belly, the fish's belly, and he told God, "Well, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll go, Lord." And when that old fish vomited old Jonah up on shore, he was right where he needed to go, right where God wanted him to go. Why don't we save ourselves a lot of grief? And if we know the Lord wants us to launch out in some way, let's just do it. Let's save all the excess turmoil and strife. Let's save issues for other people. You know, sometimes our unwillingness doesn't just affect us. It won't just hurt us. It won't just cost us. It may cost others a lot as well. Jonah being on that ship going in the opposite direction of the Lord, it cost that ship nearly sinking and all the cargo that was on the ship, and it caused all manner of turmoil and grief in the lives of those others that were with him. Oh, beloved, let's launch out knowing that what the Lord has determined to accomplish, He's going to get accomplished. Oh, beloved, let us launch out knowing that there's always purpose. Always purpose in what the Lord wants us to do. Jesus told them, launch out in the deep. Let down your nets for a draught, for a great catch. There was a purpose in what Jesus was doing. There was a purpose that was beyond them. There was a purpose that these folks never, ever, ever imagined in their whole lives. See, Jesus knew aforetime that the men He was in the boat with, He was going to call as His apostles, His disciples. And He knew that some of them had families, home, responsibilities, partners, others that they were accountable for and responsible to. Jesus wasn't just showing off. He said, launch out, drop down your nets for a draught. And they ended up filling both ships so full that they almost sank. They filled them as full as they could possibly fill them. They filled them so full that it was a catch like they never, ever, ever had before. But Jesus knew when they were done, He was going to point at them and say, follow Me. He didn't leave their families in a lurch. He didn't leave their families homeless. He didn't leave those others that they were responsible to without provision. This great catch, beloved, provided for those that the apostles left behind for a long, long time. God takes care of those things. Sometimes we feel the Lord saying, launch out, and we say, oh, but what's this, you know, this one going to do, and oh, what's going to happen here, and oh, but I got responsibilities, oh, but I got to launch out. God's already got it covered. God's already got it figured out. Launch out. Oh, beloved, let us launch out knowing that God's going to bless it. God's going to bless it. Anytime we obey the Lord, He blesses it. He blesses it. He's promised the blessing. Jesus said, launch out. Peter didn't understand it. He said, we've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, at your command, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, Lord, I'll do it. Oh, what a blessing they received. Oh, what a blessing was theirs for launching out. Beloved, let us launch out. And as we read this text, something hit me harder, more clarity than it had in previous times studying this text, preparing this text to preach. Notice what Jesus said when they got to shore, when they got back to land. They were all astonished. And they got back in verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. This was Peter. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Beloved, let us pray. Let us be burdened. Let us believe. Maybe like we never have in all of our lives before. We don't want to be just fishers of men. We want to catch men. We want to catch men. We want to see folks saved. We want to see lives changed. We want to see lives that have been wasted and lives that have been torn and lives that have been in all manner of disarray saved from the wretchedness of sin. Oh, let us pray. Dear God, don't just let me be a fisher of men. Let us catch. Let us be a catcher. Sometimes we're satisfied. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I believe the Lord's going to save who He's going to save. But I really feel sometimes we've just gotten too comfortable with just being fishers of men. We don't pray. We don't weep. And we aren't burdened. Lord, let us be catchers of men. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. It's a wonderful thing to be a witness, be a testimony, to share the gospel with those that are lost. It's even more wonderful when you see Him saved. It's even more wondrous when the Lord saves them and adds them to His work. Now, I know all that's in God's control. But where's our burden? Have we begotten lax? Have we become cold? Have we become just kind of used to just being a fisher of men? God help us, like never before, that we'd be burdened, and that we'd plead, and that we'd weep before God, would fall on our faces before God, and weep and pray and desire, dear God, let us be catchers of men. I like fishing. But when I fish and fish and fish and fish, I get frustrated when I'm not catching. It bothers me when I'm not catching. Oh, does it bother us? We go month after month, year after year, and we haven't seen a soul saved. It ought to. I know it's all in the hands of God. I know it's all a grace. But look at the burden Paul had. Should we not have the same burden? Look at Romans chapter 1 with me. I don't think anybody believed in grace any more than Paul did. But yet, look at his approach. Look at his attitude. Look at his heart. Look at his burden. Romans 1:14, he says, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, beloved. When we're witnessing to the lost, we absolutely, positively don't need to give them a lesson in the doctrines of grace. We just need to tell them about Jesus. We just need to tell them Jesus saves. We just need to share the gospel with them. Jesus suffered and bled and died and He rose again the third day, all according to the Word of God, so we could have eternal life, so we could be saved. Sometimes we get so concerned about being doctrinally correct when we seek to witness to somebody. What did Jesus tell the demon-possessed Gadarene man? You know, sometimes we get concerned, we get frustrated because we talk to someone and we can't remember the scriptures we had memorized that we were going to share when we talked to some lost soul. But when the demon-possessed man wanted to go be with Jesus, the one that he'd cast out the legion and the swine ran down and drowned themselves, and they came out and they found the man sitting and clothed in his right mind. When Jesus got ready to leave after they exhorted him and pleaded with him, please go. You've already cost us 2,000 pigs. Just leave us alone. Just get out of the country, please. And Jesus began to depart and the man that cast out the demons came running and pleading with Jesus, let me go with you. Let me be with you. Lord, let me follow you. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Jesus simply said this. No, you go home and you tell what great compassion the Lord's had on thee. Not an ABC, not a 1, 2, 3, not a whole list of memorized scripture. Just go tell them what I've done for you. Just go tell them that you've experienced my love, that you've experienced eternal life and knowing me as your Savior. Sometimes we get so concerned what we're going to tell folks. It totally handcuffs and hinders us from what the Lord would have us to do in sharing the gospel. Oh, beloved, let's pray for one another. Let's pray when the good Lord says launch out, we'll launch. And let's pray that we'll be catchers of men. Oh, that we might be burdened. Oh, that we might be pressed upon. Oh, that the greatest burden of our heart is to bring someone to Jesus. I almost preached a message of when the four bore the crippled man. And they come and they couldn't get Jesus in the door. For all the people pressed in. And so they went and they ripped a hole in their neighbor's roof. And they lowered the man down to get him to Jesus. Beloved, what are we willing to do to get someone to Jesus? God help us. God bless you.